We are starting a new Advent series over the course of Advent, obviously, entitled Seek and Save. Seek and Save. Now, this isn't about going shopping. This isn't, you know, like a flyer that you get in the mail talking about the latest deals at a grocery store. Although I did hear a saying one time that said, Jesus saves sinners and then redeems them for valuable prizes. Which it was meant to be a slight in making fun of the Christian faith. But how true is that, right? Just like we save coupons and redeem them for valuable prizes, Jesus saves sinners and then redeems them for valuable prizes. The fruit of the Spirit that comes forth in you to build the kingdom of God. It's a true saying, amen? But we're not talking about seeking and saving in terms of prices and deals. We're talking about what Christmas is all about. And today I want to start by kind of giving an overview to the entire series and where we're going to go over the next 4 weeks. And looking at these two verses, because while we love Christmas time and all the wonderful trappings that come with it, right? The decorations and the songs and the carols. I think sometimes we often forget that what Christmas truly is, according to the Bible, is the ultimate rescue mission by God to save us. Many times within the Bible, within the Gospels, and we'll look at these passages over the last couple or the next couple of weeks, you see that Jesus even says to people, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The whole entire thing of Christmas, of Jesus coming into this world, was not that we could get presents at Christmas time, but it was to come for you and for me, a lost humanity that was in desperate need of a Savior. And he still does it today. He seeks and he saves that which was lost. And that's what we'll be looking at in different aspects over the next 4 weeks. And so we're going to start here with these two verses and possibly even throw in a third towards the end as we look at the ultimate rescue mission that's put in by Scripture. Will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what we have already experienced this morning. Lord, I thank you for the people who came up and led us in worship, to worship in spirit and truth this morning. Father, it is so good to sing the glorious hymn of old, and Lord, also to sing the praise choruses that are being brought forth today. Lord, such a wonderful mixture of what is present in your body today as we enter into the Advent season. Lord, where you've asked us to prepare our hearts in remembrance of your coming, Lord, into this world. Emmanuel, God with us. Father, we ask now that as we look at your word and as we look at your word over these next 4 weeks, Lord Jesus, that you would prepare our hearts for what is to come. Lord, I pray that if there is anybody here that walks into our doors over the next 4 weeks that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that doesn't know the real reason why we celebrate this thing called Christmas, Lord, that this year the ultimate present would be given, an experience in which they would know you as Lord and Savior of their life. Father, what an awesome thing to be able to do, to celebrate new life in Christ in connection with you coming into this world. Lord, we love you. We ask now that your Holy Spirit would move and work amongst us as we look at your word. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 How many of you guys are familiar with the wonderful Christmas classic, The Worst Times to Have Brain Farts, right? The wonderful Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life. There you go. It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life. It's one that's played every year. It's one that I really didn't know about growing up as a kid. Actually, I experienced it for one of the very first times after marrying my wife. So that's one of the many benefits that I got from marrying my wife. She introduced me to this Christmas classic. She still wants me to watch White Christmas. I'm not there yet. I can't sit still long enough. But so if you're familiar with It's a Wonderful Life, you're familiar with the part where George is going to the bridge, right? And George has gotten himself into a conundrum. He's gotten himself into a pickle. He's even at the end of his rope. He has lost $8,000 to keep the family business open. He can't find it. He knows that he has been in somewhat, kind of looks as if he has stole it. He knows that jail is possibly coming. And he's starting to ponder if he was better off dead or alive. Right? Starting to ponder whether he was better off dead or alive. In fact, at one point, he says a prayer unto God, and he says, I'm at the end of my rope. Lord, I need you to show me the way. Right after he prays that prayer, it doesn't look like he's been granted an answer that he wants, right? He winds up going and getting into a fight, and after he's in that fight, he leaves the bar, he winds up wrecking his car, and he winds up going to the bridge in which he is contemplating jumping from the bridge and ending his life. And he gets to that bridge, and that's where that key moment happens. Because as he's standing on the edge of the bridge, and he's getting ready to jump, all of a sudden somebody else jumps in ahead of him. Who was that person? Clarence. Clarence. An angel sent to intervene. And so George sees him in the water, and he jumps in to actually save Clarence. And you see it later on as the two are pulled out of the river and they're sitting there with the conductor of the bridge and they're talking. And the guy asks, right, how did you fall in? How did you fall in? And Clarence says, I didn't fall in. I jumped in to save George. And George looks up, he goes, no, I jumped in to save you. You see that aspect of who jumped in to save who here? The imagery that's being played out, the symbolism that's being played out. Listen to me, church. That scene can encompass what Christmas is all about. That scene can encompass what Christmas is all about. What we see is that Jesus jumped into this world. Jesus was sent by the Father on the ultimate rescue mission to save humanity. In fact, that's what we see in our first verse that we're looking at this evening in Galatians 4 through 5. Look with me there. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, it's very similar to the movie scene that we just played out, right? In the movie, God looked down from heaven. He looked down and he saw George. He saw the situation that he was in. He saw how it was about to end, and he asked his guardian angel, Clarence, to come over and to intervene. I need you to go. I need you to do something. I need you to jump in. I need you to save George from what is about to go down. God looked down from heaven in the same way 2,000 some odd years ago. He looked down from heaven. He saw the world and saw the mess that we were in. You see, historically at this point, Israel, God's people, were in a very bad place. If you read Malachi, you find out that they had forgotten God, that they've gone on their own way. There was only a small remnant left of the Israelites and of true faith. Spiritually, we see that they had turned their faith into something God hated. They turned it into a bunch of rules and regulations and laws. Personally, the problem overall from the beginning of time of original sin had never been settled and still was not paid. And God said numerous times in foreshadowing that we could never pay it. That we could never pay it. That works of righteousness were not enough. But look at what the verse says. It says, when the fullness of time was come. At the perfect time in which humanity could accept a Savior, in which the perfect time in which the gospel could be seen and known at the perfect time in which it could be grasped and understood and gone forward. At the perfect time, in the darkest of moments for Israel, it says that God sent His Son. He sent forth His Son. And I love it because, listen to me, church, when we read that God sent forth His Son, it's not like God had to strong-arm Jesus and say, you're going to go down there and you're going to do this. And Jesus was like, oh, come on. I got it good up here. I like popping in and out and being pre-existent. I like being able to show up here and show up there and show you, oh, come on. Why are you going to make me put on a sack of flesh? Why are you going to make me and go down and experience the sinfulness of man? Why are you going to make me go from the perfect into the unperfect? But no, listen to me. We find out in the Gospels that Jesus went willingly. It wasn't that God took him and threw him in. No, when God said, I'm sending my Son into the world, Jesus went willingly. Why? Because He loves us. He went on the ultimate rescue mission at the darkest time, at the darkest hour, in the darkest of circumstances to save us. Or as verse 5 says, look at, to redeem them that were under the law. I love that word, redeem. Redeem. Right? To give worth. To give value. You know that the meaning of your life and the worth and the value of your life doesn't come from anything this world has to offer or even inside of you. It comes from Jesus Christ alone and a relationship with Him. It says to redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoptions of son. And the people that have gone away from the Lord, He says, you're no longer going to be strangers. I'm sending my Son. Lord Jesus, your task is not just to bring redemption, but your job is to also bring adoption. Amen? To provide a way in which we can be reconciled unto our God. To overcome the bounds of sin and death and hell. To provide a way for the people when there is no way. It was the ultimate rescue mission that He was sent on at the perfect time in history. And He came to save us. He came to save us. You know, I hope that we don't lose vision of that. The baby Jesus just didn't come into this world for us to ogle and adore at Christmas time. I know it's nice and I know it's wonderful that we can look at a baby and we can, you know, we get caught up in all the wonderful emotions and the Mary did you knows, and it makes us feel good and it's wonderful. But remember, this was the only person that came into this world that was born for a specific reason, and that was to die for the sins of mankind. I got to do a Christmas tree lighting in New Freedom last night. I was asked to offer a prayer. And for that situation, I was looking through some prayers that have been offered before. It's one of the things that in the United Methodist Church is good, that you have a book of worship and you have, you know, a history of things that people have done and prayers that people have offered. And so, you know, the book of worship, it has prayer for just about any circumstance. Any circumstance. And believe it or not, they have one, a prayer for the beginning of Advent season or the blessing of the Christmas tree. Go figure, right? This one was from 1941. And I thought, you know what? Public setting, stuff like that. Yeah, I'm good. And I ad-libbed some of it. I put some of my own into it. And I read this because sometimes I just want to make sure that it's a good thing. And y'all know I can be wordy sometimes. And I don't want to wind up doing like a five-minute prayer in which I'm preaching a message. So, you know... I decided to bring about that prayer. Where is it? Let me just... It's really neat because it sums up something that we often forget, especially in light of the Christmas tree. And pull it up here. I couldn't rip a page out of it, and I didn't have a copier, so I took a picture of it. I hope you know that this is kind of off the cuff. That's why I'm struggling here. I don't have it. But essentially what it said was, we need to remember, it talked about blessing of the tree. And for a lot of us, you know, we see these Christmas trees on stage, and as Christians, we don't necessarily, sometimes we have this thought that it doesn't really go with the Christian holiday and stuff like that. But this prayer had it beautifully worded in which we as Christians should remember that as we light up the tree, that that tree is the ultimate destination of the baby. And when that baby eventually made it to that tree, that's where the light of love is seen for the entire world. It was worded very richly and very beautifully. And I think that's something that we need to remember over Christmas time. Yes, the baby. But yes, that baby's going to be a man. A man who dies for yours and mine. His ultimate destination is the cross, as beautifully as what Judy has set up that piece in the back corner. If you don't get an opportunity today, go check it out in the back corner where the baby's laying at the foot of the cross. That's what it was. It was the ultimate rescue mission for humanity. And that's what we see. To seek and to save. And that's what takes us to our second verse that we're looking at this morning. And that is probably the most underrated and overlooked verse of the entire Bible. Because it comes right after the most popular and famous verse in the Bible, which is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But then right after it comes this beautiful verse that explains 16 in 17. And it says this, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, what a glorious verse. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Backtracking to It's a Wonderful Life. You know, when Clarence answered the control man at the bridge and said, well, I jumped in to save George. Clarence was right. Clarence was right. Him jumping in actually saved George, because if he didn't jump in, George would have jumped and would have died. But because Clarence jumped in, George jumped in to save Clarence. But in turn, Clarence was saving George. You see, that's what we see here. And because Clarence just didn't save George, but we find out throughout the rest of the movie, and spoiler alert if nobody's seen it in here, I'm sorry, but we find out through the rest of the movie that Clarence then showed him things that he never knew. He brought to light and revelation things that George never saw. Because Clarence walked with him and talked with him and went around in this world with him after saving George, George was able to see that his life wasn't a failure. George was able to see that his life wasn't over. George was able to see that his life was actually blessed and wonderful. Right? George was able to see that his life had hope, that his life had meaning, that his life had purpose. All because George started seeing his life from God's perspective because of what Clarence did. You see, George was only seeing it from his own problems. Isn't that why Jesus came? Didn't he say that? I've come to show you the way. And if you know the Father, you know me as well. A seek and a save rescue mission that Jesus has gone on. You see, just like what Advent and Christmas signifies, we see that Jesus jumped into this world. Look, he didn't jump into the world, as the verse says, to condemn the world. No, it says he jumped into the world to what? Save the world. Clarence didn't jump into that river to condemn George. He came to save him. Just like Jesus came not to condemn, but to save. And you know what? We as Christians need to remember that in the course of witnessing and evangelizing and spreading the good news. Yes, there's the element that if we die without Jesus, we are destined for hell. But remember, you don't go around bashing people on the head with Bibles and preaching a gospel that has hate in it. No, it's a gospel that, yes, while there's a coming judgment, it's a gospel that talks about a Savior who loves you, who came to save you, who wants a relationship with you, who does not want you to go to hell, but took on your sins so that way you could be saved. It's a gospel of love, church. With a message of love. He didn't come to condemn, but he came to save. I think we see that mostly in the gospel where the woman who was caught in adultery and the men had the stones. According to the law, they could have thrown them. In fact, the one that was worthy of throwing it, Jesus Christ, who had no sin, he could have condemned the woman, but what did he do? Saved her. He saved her. It's the grace of God. Amen. Did God have every right to send his son into this world to condemn us? Absolutely he did. But amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Instead of condemning us, instead of sending us to a hell that we deserved, he sent his son to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise God. Praise God. You see, just like Clarence came to save George, we see the same thing with Jesus. We know that the baby grows up. We know that he lives a sinless life. We know that he dies a death that we deserve to pay the price for our sin. He raises again and gives us the victory. But listen to me, church, when he walked this earth, you know what he did? He shows us love. He shows us grace. He shows us mercy. He shows us forgiveness. He shows us the truth. He shows us that our life through him has meaning. It has value. It has purpose. You see, that's the benefit of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. All of those things come out from it. That's why I feel like maybe we need to sing the hymn and keep referencing it. That's why it's so important to walk with him and talk with him. Because this world will tell you a lot of lies. And there'll be a lot of things that get into your head about who you are and what you're supposed to do and where you're going and how you're supposed to act. Listen to me, the best thing you can do to combat the lies of this world and the lies of this culture is to walk and talk with Jesus Christ. And he'll tell you that you are his own. And the joy that you share when you tarry there, none other has ever known. I think we just need to break out in the song at this point. Listen to me, church. Jesus didn't come to show us that we are terrible people, but to show us that we can have life and have it more abundantly. In the midst of our misery and in the midst of our sin. And listen to me, just like Clarence, right? Clarence walked George around and did all the work. He set the scene and he was able to reveal this to us. Just like Clarence, Jesus did all the work for it to be possible. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all. Amen? All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. It washed me white as snow. All we got to do is put our faith and trust in him for what he came to do in this ultimate rescue mission called Christmas. As the worship team comes back up this morning, you may ask, well, Pastor, why did Jesus do this? Why did God send his son into the world for us? I know some of y'all are looking at your watches and like, what? Hey, early Christmas present for coming out on a day where a lot of people don't. Listen, why did Jesus do this? Because of his love for us. Because of the Father's love for us. You know, I've said this many times. You hear a lot of people say, and we may even talk about it one of these Sundays going through Advent, but you hear a lot of people say, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? Jesus is the reason for the season. It's huge amongst, you know, evangelical Christians with trendy cliches. Can I tell you with a little bit of hesitation? Jesus is not the reason for the season. Don't throw your stones yet. Listen, you are the reason for the season. You are. I know it sounds millennial and selfish and self-centered. And it's tough to wrap our heads around something like that when it's been ingrained in us. Jesus is. No, you are. You are the reason that Jesus came. Because you had a sin problem that you could do nothing about. Amen. And he came to rescue you. He came to seek and save you that was lost. When you didn't even know what you needed, praise God, he pursued you in his prevenient grace. And when you got to the point where your spiritual eyes were open, he was right there offering you the cure for what ailed you. Praise God for this rescue mission called Christmas. Listen, Jesus came for you. He came for you. And he did so by sacrificing everything he had on this side of heaven and the other side of heaven for you. He paid your sin debt. He rose from the dead. He secured your salvation. He did it for you. He did it for you. So that just like George, you could have a wonderful life. It may not be everything you want it to be. It may not have all the fancy trappings and physical things that you want, but listen to me. Through Jesus Christ, your life is wonderful because, listen to me, your spiritual condition is taken care of. Your soul has been saved, and you've been born again into the family of God. It's what Christmas is all about. Finding a life through the ultimate rescue mission of hope and of meaning and of purpose. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great love for us, that you would send your Son into this world to save us. You would give us